May I speak in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. After yesterday's Rugby World Cup final at Twickenham, perhaps some of us are still celebrating All Blacks as much as All Saints. However, over the last week, there's been another source of anticipation and excitement. Bond is back. In a dazzling opening sequence, we're transported to Mexico City. It's Bond. It's a little bit silly, a little bit cliched. Gadgets, glamour, and martinis. We expect dramatic aerial stunts, adrenaline-inducing car chases, and trains that hurtle through the desert to a villain with a white cat. At moments, it's heart-stopping, but not always in the way we expect. Spectre captivates us with a spectacular, vibrant, and exotic parade scene. It's the Day of the Dead, a Latin American festival full of rich cultural and religious allusions. Elaborate costumes, intricate dances. Two people, a man and a woman, move through the crowd with purpose. Masks hide their passion and their intent. At the same time, four words, an on-screen epigraph, marks the beginning. The dead are alive. Four words. Pulsating through the unspoken traumas, fears, and hopes of one man. It's Bond. Of course, it's full of nostalgia and the ghosts of previous 007s and their enemies. Even the Telegraph describes it as an act of pure cinematic necromancy. Perhaps it's the combination of Daniel Craig and Sam Mendes that has given this franchise a degree of emotional and psychological depth. The losses are real. The stakes are high. Ghosts of parents, lovers, and enemies lurk amidst the muted cinematic tones. But the use of data, monitoring mobile phones, security breaches, and tracking, these things are the things that we fear in response to our freedom, which we'll be discussing on Thursday's penultimate Proclaiming Liberty lecture. In Bond, it's C who talks about an international surveillance scheme which will capture the world's digital ghost. The dead are alive. Death and life are at the heart of our faith. Our fears, limitations are changed by the hope of the gospel. Today we celebrate the lives of those who have gone before us in the faith, the apostles, prophets, martyrs, and saints. It is indeed a holy company. They are knit together in one communion and fellowship. And tomorrow we will remember the lives of all the departed, remembering them in love and thanksgiving. The dead are, in a profound sense, with us, not just in our hearts and minds, but as part of the mystical body of the Church in Jesus Christ. Although it stretches our imaginations and confounds our perception of time in relation to eternity, they worship with us, praising God and singing, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty." To celebrate the saints is an encouragement to us. As we rejoice in their faith, we find inspiration to follow their example, proclaiming God's glory in our own generation. In the power of the Spirit, we are called, like them, to witness to the love of God made manifest in Jesus Christ, and to do so with boldness and joy. To celebrate the saints is a source of hope amidst all that challenges, overwhelms, and perplexes. It is a hope that meets us when we are most vulnerable. It is a hope that confronts our mortality, that says this is not the end. For nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus, the one in whom death is swallowed up. As we discussed at Bob yesterday, Halloween faces the darkness of death, but with pumpkins, fancy dress, and the refrain of trick or treat. Perhaps we dismiss it as light-hearted fun, but there's something sinister about it too. It's a night that talks of ghouls and ghosts, but which does not speak of the defeat of darkness by the light of Christ. Over pizza and cake, Bob pondered the promise of Isaiah, discerning words of hope and promise to hold on to now and in the future. Isaiah speaks of a shroud cast over the nations, perhaps an acknowledgement of injustice, pain, and sorrow, of all that weighs on our hearts and casts a shadow over our own lives. But he also promises an end to mourning and death. He offers a vision of feasting on rich food and mature wine. As we wait for the fulfillment of that promise, it seems as if the world is wrapped in a shroud, like this morning when Guildford was surrounded in fog. We wait for glimpses of light and love and hope. As one member of Bob asked, what if our lives resonated with the brightness of that hope, as if the dampening piano pedal had been lifted and a bright and compelling tune is heard? In today's gospel, a shroud is destroyed. It's a story of love and intense emotion. Jean Vanier describes it as one of the most beautiful chapters of John because it reveals how profoundly human and totally divine Jesus is. We see the depth of Jesus' human emotion. He knows the intense anguish of grief, the pain and horror of the untimely death of a friend is excruciating. He weeps. We too feel the weight of the words of Mary, Martha, and the crowds, the weight of expectation, disappointment, and loss. We hear the sting of that word, if. If you had been here, he would not have died. We hear the demands of love. Could he not have prevented this? They weep. The death is real. There is a stench. He comes. He sees. He weeps. He's distressed. He speaks. Take away the stone. He faces death. Lazarus, come out. The dead man is alive. He releases an outpouring of human emotion, a breathtaking and overwhelming joy and adoration. He releases us from the constraints of death, saying to Lazarus, unbind him. Let him go. Some, perhaps, were moved to faith and trust by what they had witnessed. For here is a glimpse of Isaiah's promise being fulfilled. The shroud is unbound, tears are wiped away, there is joy and gladness. Today, as we worship, we too name our fears of change or pain or dependence on others, of failure, rejection and despair, the fear of putting the love of God at the centre of our lives, calling us to let go of jealousy, grudges, and self-determination, and to see ourselves as we are, as loved, unconditionally. Dare we trust the power of God within us and within others? Lazarus' hope and ours is in the Lord of life who swallows up death, in the one who lies in a tomb for 3 days, the one in whom the power of God defeats death itself. Folded grave clothes remain as God's transformative power is seen in the glory of resurrection. In a different garden, another Mary cannot see through tears, yet hears her name and says, "I have seen the Lord." We live in the hope of unspeakable joys. Like Lazarus, we are called to be fully alive in the face of mortality, ensnared by fear and condemnation, yet called to live with a fearless generosity, fragmented and overwhelmed, yet called to wholeness, holiness, and godly living. Jesus says, "Rise up, live as people of light and life." Jesus calls us out of the tomb, he unbinds us, and we are called to give life. Amongst the saints, there is no them and us. For we are all called out of darkness into God's marvellous light. We are, as Jean Vanier says, on a journey of resurrection to do the work of God, to bring love in our families, our communities, and the world. That process begins every morning, is shaped by every Eucharist. It continues in every act of forgiveness and every gesture of gratitude. The dead are alive. We live because God lives in us. We love because God in Jesus Christ gave himself for us. We shine as lights by the power of the Spirit. Rise up in love. Jesus raises Lazarus from the dead. He calls each one of us to rise up in love. Amen.